This is the Better Reading Podcast platform with stories behind the story, Jane's Be Better podcast, My Book Chat with Caroline Overington, and more. Looking for a particular podcast? Remember, you can always skip to it.
Welcome to the Better Reading Podcast, Stories Behind the Story, brought to you by Belinda Audio. Listen to Belinda audiobooks anywhere, everywhere.
Hi, this is Cheryl Arkell from the Better Reading Podcast, Stories Behind the Story. We talk to authors about how they came to tell us their story. Sarah Barry, welcome back to Better Reading.
Thanks for having me.
I know. So we've got you via Zoom this time, not in the office as you were last time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just happy to have you, really. Sarah is the author of 9 novels, including her best-selling print debut, Secrets of Whitewater Creek, the Hunter's Ridge Trilogy, and the Calico Mountain Trilogy. In a past life, while gaining degrees in art, science, and education, Sarah worked as a teacher, a vet nurse, a horse trainer, and a magazine editor before deciding she wanted to write novels. About the only thing that has remained constant is her love of all things crime. Well, there's a bit of animal love in there as well, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
A farm full of animals here that take up way too much of my time.
Okay. I want to talk about them. Her latest novel, Vendetta, follows Lexi Winter as she goes undercover to infiltrate a motorcycle club on the wrong side of the law. Okay. I mean, motorcycle clubs are usually on the wrong side of the law, aren't they?
Well, some of them are. I mean, some of them are great people too. I mean, I've met a lot of bikies who just want to, you know, have some fun with their mates and enjoy their bikes. But, you know, you get those one percenters and, they can be a bit of trouble.
The only reason I say that, I don't know anything about motorbikes at all, but where I live, there was a motorcycle group head office, I think, and one night somebody bombed it.
Oh.
Yeah, and it flicked cars. Like if you were driving up Parramatta Road at the time, your car flipped on its head. So I think that happened to 2 or 3 cars. But apparently the blast was so significant that people felt it in their homes and thought it was a tremor. Oh, and wow. So people were ringing me because I was probably physically the closest, although I was still quite a way away from it, and ringing me to see if I was okay. And did I hear it? No, I slept all the way. I slept right through.
Wow.
I'm a really good sleeper. However, what I noticed the next day when I drove past there is hundreds of motorbike people, you know, wearing their jackets and their bike, all there to help put that place together, carrying bricks, carrying this. Yeah, extraordinary. Anyway, that's my experience of motorbikes.
Right. Yes. Well, you've certainly had an exciting experience of motorbikes.
And occasionally I've been on one, but with someone, and I've really enjoyed them.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm. Now, what made you write about that?
Look, I needed to fill in a lot of Lexi's background. Obviously, she's very good with computers, and someone with her background would have had very limited opportunity to be that good with computers, and that the most likely scenario would have been working with an outlaw motorcycle gang because the prevalence of cybercrime within those organisations is just so huge.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was her very best chance of being as good as she was and being able to do what she could do.
Mm. So we're talking about, you know, and before we hit record as well, we were talking about how busy you are and closing the door so no kids come in. And tell me about how it is, what your daily life looks like. And I want to talk about animals and how it is that you try and do, how you make time for your full-time job, which I imagine is right, amongst all the others. Yes.
Well, the farm work has to start early. Yes. We breed animals for hobbyists, basically. So we have everything from chickens right through to cattle, sheep, goats, ducks, horses, pigs, you know, you name it, we've got it. They all need feeding and looking after every morning and afternoon. So that gets done early and late. In between, sometime the kids have to go to school. You know, we also have an orchid nursery here, which is pretty full on at some times of the year. My husband works from home, which means he's down in the middle of the day as well. I try and do a little bit of housework, but it's certainly not not a lot gets done, so I don't invite a lot of people over. And then the writing just kind of happens around all of that generally.
So is there a set time? Is there like you think, okay, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to try and do 2,000 words or 1,000 words? Tell me how you approach the writing.
Yeah, generally it'll be around 9:30 when I get home from dropping the kids off, and then I'll write through till about 12:30 and hubby's down for lunch. I don't get a lot of time after that, so then it's generally if I can sit down around about 8:30 at night and just go until I don't. Sometimes I get time on the weekends as well, but nowhere near is enough, generally speaking. Holidays can be good. I don't have – it takes about 2 hours a day to get the kids to and from school as well, so I don't have that. If I can lock myself away, I can. I do, but, of course, all the other farm jobs need to be done. So when I'm really lucky, I actually pack up and go for a few days somewhere, like a motel or something like that, if I'm really pushed for time and everyone rallies around and does my work for me and lets me get finished.
So essentially you've got three jobs. You've got writing, you've got looking after the children. Do you do most of that?
Yes.
Yes. And then you've got the animals.
The animals, yeah.
Yeah, that's a third job.
Yeah, and helping with the orchids as well.
Oh, right, four jobs. Okay. I admire people like you that get so much done in a day. I feel as though when I talk to some writers, and because so many people are stealing, there are the lucky ones that can write full time, right? Mm. And that's all they do. But they're, as you know and I know, they're few and far between.
That's right.
And a lot of the writers that I talk to, they're trying to steal time, if you like, to write.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a discipline in itself. I mean, it's usually either early morning or late at night. And I sometimes when I walk away from those conversations, I think, that's just not me. That's why I'm not creative, I think.
I think you've really got to want to do it.
Yeah. Tell me how you came to it.
I was one of those kids that always loved reading and writing myself little stories. But I was a primary school teacher for a long time, well, amongst other things, as you know. And I had to stop doing all of those things when I became pregnant with my first child. I needed something to do at home and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And a very good friend of mine who was in the horse industry died, and I just wrote a little article about her that got published. And the publisher of the magazine rang me up and actually asked me if I'd like to work for them. And so I started writing articles, and then I became the editor of that magazine. And it kind of just snowballed from there. I met other writers. I actually met Taya Cooper, and she encouraged me to write.
You lived nearby.
Yeah, not too far away from each other, actually. Yeah.
And she encouraged you to write?
For a competition for the RWA, the Romance Writers. And I did, and that ended up being published, and that's really how it all got started.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about going back to your earlier careers, because you've done quite a bit of study as well, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you've always been a busy person.
Yes.
So teaching. I studied and I didn't finish it because I just didn't like it. I studied to be a primary school teacher as well, and I only got to the second year because, one, I decided I didn't like children. And
good reason.
Good reason. And the supervisor noticed, right? And sure. I think that was the best life advice I ever got, because she said to me at that time, she was supervising some prac I was doing. She said, maybe, because where I was, there was a bookshop. Maybe you want to go up and work in the bookshop for the summer and see how you go. And maybe you don't want to come back to this. But do you know the other thing that really hit hard on me at that job is that it's very, very hard. Teaching is very, very hard. And one of the things that I think is hard about it is, from my experience, is one, you can't go out in my job, I'm not on for 8 hours a day or 6 hours a day like teachers are, right?
Yep.
Particularly primary school. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, high school people, equally hard work, but they get periods, you know. Whereas primary school, I felt that I was in the same premise for 6 hours. You know, I couldn't go out and get a coffee. I couldn't ring my friend. I couldn't go and pay the water bill or whatever. It is really a difficult job. It's like being a surgeon, you know, you're looking over somebody for 7 hours or 6 hours. And so you're on really for that many hours. Whereas if I look at the work that I've done over the years, maximum on for an hour, you know, it's different, isn't it?
It's very different. And not only are you on for that amount of time, you have 20 or 30 little ones that all need your attention constantly. And it's really draining. And then you go home and you're still focused on them in other ways because you're planning your lessons and you're marking their work and you're wondering how to structure the next lessons to fit each and every child and absolutely earn every cent as a teacher.
I agree, totally. And also you worry about them because I can imagine there's always one or two kids in the class that you might worry about. I mean, a lot of my friends are teachers and my sister is a high school teacher and she's a vice principal. But, they worry about whether the kids get lunch or dinner. You know, they're worried about other things other than education.
Absolutely. And it's getting harder and harder, I think. And there's more and more, there seems to be more and more behavioural issues within the classroom as well and more restrictions on teachers on how to deal with those things. And I certainly don't think I could go back to it.
It is. It's really tough. So then did you work in a vet as a vet nurse?
Yes, I was a vet nurse for about 5 years, I think.
Yeah. And how was that?
It was very rewarding.
Yeah.
But again, really long hours. Yes. And I just got too sad too often. You know, there was all the lovely stories, but I ended up adopting all the animals that people came in to put down. I paid for surgeries that I shouldn't have paid. Like I just.
So you got broke.
I was a rescuer.
Gina, I don't know why I'm laughing because a couple of weeks ago, I think it's 2 weeks ago today. It was a Monday anyway. I had to put John Brown down, my dog.
I know. I'm so sorry. I heard.
It's so hard. It's so hard, Sarah. You know. But do you know, I came home. It was late at night because he was 17 and a half, right? So
that's
it was going to happen.
Wonderful life.
Yeah. And he was a Maltese poodle. That's a long life.
It is very long.
And I came home. I'd been to dinner and I came home. And I'd been conflicted about doing it. Like it's such a hard thing to do, as you know.
Of course, always.
And then this woman said to me in the park, you know what, Cheryl, when it's time, you'll know. You'll know. You'll know when it's time. And, you know, I walked in that night. I knew, right?
Yeah.
And so I wrapped him up and I put him in the car that night and I went to the Sydney University Vet because it's 24 hours. And I'm getting to vet nurses here. And, you know, I was crying so much. When I reflect on that time and I think about it, I never said one word. They knew.
Yeah.
I never spoke a word. I couldn't get a word out. I was crying so much.
Yeah.
And they never asked me to either. They knew what was happening. They looked at his age. They knew, you know.
And
I'm very grateful for that.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And I just, again, I walked away from that job. Well, I got back in my car and I was just a mess. And I thought, what a hard job to do. Because really, you're only going to come in the night if something is serious. Although I did hear while I was sitting there in all my tears that two dogs were there to have their stomach pumped because I'd eaten chocolate.
Yes.
Naughty dogs.
Yes, a friend of mine's dogs did that last week. Six Toblerones under the tree and got every single one of them.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess that happens this time of the year. But again, I thought, you know, they're special people. They knew not to talk to. Well, they knew I couldn't talk is what they knew.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you know who else was a vet? Christos Chalkos.
Okay.
He was a vet nurse, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it says a lot about writers, doesn't it? Empathy.
Yes. I think, Well, writers, I think, need empathy for sure. Better get into the minds and hearts of so many characters. And animals teach us a lot.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, so much. So tell me about writing crime and why crime.
Oh, I just love it. I love crime. I love looking into the motivations, especially of the good guys and the bad guys. you know, the heroes and the villains, what makes them tick, what makes them who they are, especially that's why I picked Lexi as a heroine for this series, because she's so complicated and, you know, she's come from what she's come from and she has so much to overcome. There's such scope for her character arc. It's just amazing. So being able to go into depth, you know, in that way, rather than just investigate a crime itself, but the people, yeah, I love it.
No, you're good at it as well.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a question. Like, looking back, being a teacher, being a vet nurse, it kind of brings you to where you are. Like, say, for instance, you became a writer first off. Do you think you would have been the same writer that you are now in terms of a fiction writer?
I think every writer benefits from a broad range of experiences, you know, from just from life. You can do a lot of research, and it's certainly a really good thing to do, but the more experiences you've had, the more people you've run into, the more different types of people you've run into, I think it certainly it builds your library of reference when you're, you know, creating your stories, and it gives you very different outlooks, I think, on life. So, yeah, I think it certainly does help.
Because you wonder, a lot of people, all they wanted to do was write, but they had to work to write, or they had to work first. And I always think what that must bring to a writer.
I think it makes you appreciate it more too.
Yeah.
I guess if it had all come a little bit earlier and I hadn't had to do all those other things first, I might not have appreciated how much this means to me to be able to do it now.
Yeah.
Because I do feel very lucky that I can fit it in and that I am published and that I'm getting to, you know, explore this career at this time in my life.
Yeah.
For sure.
But in a way, with everything that's happening around you, you're still stealing time in a sense, aren't you?
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
Do you actually ever think, I can't wait for the days when I'm going to be able to do as much writing as I want to in a day?
In some ways I do. I think when the kids have finished school, how good will it be not to have to drive them to and from every day? You know, if I cut back on the animals, if we stop breeding, you know, how good will it be not to have to do that? But then I think I'll miss all of those things as well. So I can't really decide. I can't really say I want to take anything out of my life. I might wish for a couple more extra hours of the day to fit everything in, but that's a tough one. I debate that with myself quite a bit.
I can
actually
imagine. Yeah,
sure.
So what book number are we up to with Vendetta?
Corey?
Vendetta's three.
Yep.
And do you do a book a year or a book every
Yes.
Your schedule?
A book a year.
Right.
With us usually running late, getting the next one in. But I'm writing book four now. So that will be into the publisher very shortly.
Okay. And so you're promoting a book while you're writing another.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get a bit confused about where you are and where you are in the world?
When you're writing series, I have to go back occasionally and make sure that I'm writing, you know, in the right time frame, because, or I haven't mentioned this yet, or I have mentioned that, or, you know, because yes, absolutely. Has that character actually been introduced, or am I writing someone in that no one knows what I'm going to be talking about? Because it's a lot. Four books covers a lot of time. And
yeah.
I just have to spend a fair bit of my own time going back and checking that everything's in the right place.
Yeah.
Sure.
And do you ever take a proper holiday? Does your mind, and I mean not necessarily physically writing, but does your mind ever stop going into a story?
Well, funny, I went to Foster last week and I told myself,
holiday.
I think for a holiday.
Yeah.
Just the beach and time with the kids. And I told myself I wasn't going to think about this deadline or this book at all. Ended up coming up with the next book. So it doesn't completely switch off.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. It just, you know, it just popped in there. And so I had to take some very quick notes when no one was looking so that I'd remember what I was going to do after book four.
Wow. And so you got the gist of the story.
Yes.
When you were in Foster. And you had a blank slate before that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Wow.
I don't know why these things happen.
And when that happens, do you then stop immediately and record it?
Oh,
you know,
I do.
Write it down. Yeah.
I'll just talk it through on my phone as I think of it. Otherwise you forget. And if, you know, if it's a good idea, it doesn't matter how many times you tell yourself you remember, you don't.
Mm.
So it's worthwhile doing. It only takes a minute.
No, that's right. Okay. So you're going to take a break over Christmas and New Year?
Not with this deadline, no.
Tell me what are you doing working?
Well, I need to get this last book for the Lexi Winter series in by the end of January.
Right.
So that's going to take
quite a bit. That's almost cruel from your publisher, isn't it?
Oh, no, she's lovely, actually, because she's given me the extra month, which I just needed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just feel that extension over the summer period is like, oh, my God.
I know, but I have done it to myself, but there's nothing really else I could do about it. No, I'm always busy. I'm never just being lazy and not writing. It's how it happens every year. So
does it? You're always running late?
Always, always running late or very close to running late. Yeah.
It's a challenge. I mean, doing a book a year is hard work and particularly when it's one of four jobs.
Mm. Yeah, it is. But I like to do that. I work well under pressure, I think. I'm not sure that if I had a lot more time, I still wouldn't work the way that I work. I'm just used to that after 10 or 11 years or whatever it's been. That's just how I write now. So,
and if your kids said to you, oh, you know, Mum, I want to be a writer, mm-hmm. how would you feel about that?
Look, I'd encourage them to do something else as well, for sure.
Yeah.
My daughter Emma is insanely good at writing, much better than I was at her age. And I think if she wants to do something, you know, in that field, then that would be great for her. But I also think you need to have something else. You can't bank on writing straight out of school as a career that you're going to, you know, make enough of a living off from the get-go. Mm. But also I think it's a really rewarding career, and I'd encourage anyone to write if they want to write. Just be prepared for all the ups and downs and not to be an instant overnight hit. Mm. That said, some people are.
Yeah. Although, you know, it's more hard work, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I often feel that the people that are an overnight hit, it's a little bit harder for them, because when you write your first book, as you know, you're kind of writing it in your own bubble. Like there's no pressure, there's no deadline, you haven't sold it usually. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel that from the first book to where you are at now?
Oh, well, absolutely. With Secrets of Whitewater Creek, I wrote that in bits and pieces over about 3 or 4 years and just fiddled with it. And that wasn't the one I wrote for the competition. That was just one I was never going to publish. I was never going to do anything with. I was just playing around with it for fun. But that ended up being my first properly published print book. And then suddenly it was like, great, I was offered a contract for another one. I had to write that in 12 months and the pressure was incredible. From the publisher, just within myself, I have to write this in 12 months and it has to be good. Going from a hobby to writing professionally, it's a huge jump.
Mm. Absolutely. Did you do any kind of courses where you were learning craft, or you just walked straight into it?
I did a few little short courses. Mm. Once I'd won that competition, just so that, because I didn't have any clue what I was really doing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to polish Secrets up, because they asked if I'd written anything else. And I thought, I don't want to send this in unless I've spoken to someone that has a clue what should be in it and how it should be structured and all of those sorts of things. But I didn't, no, from everything that I've done at uni, I didn't do anything on writing.
Yeah, well, extraordinary.
Well, I don't, a lot of authors haven't, I don't think.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, you've done very well. It's Sarah Barry. The book is called Vendetta and it's out now. And thank you so much for chatting with us, and good luck with book four.
Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate it.
If you'd like more information about Better Reading, follow us on Facebook or visit betterreading.com.au.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Belinda Audio. Belinda audiobooks are available on CD and MP3 from online booksellers and bookshops everywhere, or you can download from Audible, Google Play, or the iBook Store. We've also created our own app called BorrowBox that's available from both the App Store and Google Play. All you need to do to get it working is to download the app, join your local public library, and you'll gain access to the world's best collection of ebooks and e-audiobooks available for you to loan on your phone or your personal device. Belinda, we're here to enable you to escape, imagine, grow, and be inspired through the power of storytelling. Belinda Audiobooks. Anywhere, everywhere.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review and check out the other podcasts on the Better Reading Network.